So, our pastor John is gone. He and Nini are on vacation, and we're thankful that he has a chance to get away. And Susan and I have enjoyed raising our family in this church. We appreciate the opportunities we've had to serve as a family. As our girls moved away, one of the joys has been to go to their churches to see where they're fellowshipping at. Emily, when she was in Los Angeles, she went to a church called Reality LA. It was a really great church. It met in an auditorium of a high school. Very contemporary, always packed whenever we went to it. If you took all the congregation and created an average age, it would be, I'm sure, below half of my age. You know, that's how young it was. So it's a very young congregation. But what I always saw when we went to that church, Aurelia, L.A., was an amazing hunger for the Word of God. You know, you think about churches like that, kind of light on teaching, but they would teach every time we were there for 60 minutes, the preacher would teach. And he would preach through a book of the Bible. Sometimes when I was there, I think it was one of the prophets he was teaching through. Never shortchanging the fact we are sinners in need for repentance and needing to be saved. And I thought, wow, that's a great church. And in Santa Barbara, where Ann is at, she goes to a church called Santa Barbara Community Church. She's now married to my son-in-law, David. One of the things that will happen, there's two teaching pastors there, and one of the teaching pastors, he must have a special talent in the memorization, because he will quote large sections of Scripture prior to his teaching. I always thought that was very inspirational. It seemed to honor God's Word. You certainly recognize quite an investment of time that someone took to really spend time to learn the Word of God. It's a way to hide God's Word in your heart. You know, Awana is going to be starting here pretty soon. And Awana, really, that's the key to Awana, isn't it? Helping children put God's Word in their heart by memorizing Scriptures. I was always impressed over the time when we were helping with Awana that some of the leaders took that very seriously. I think Allison Cardwell, I don't see her here today, but Allison, I think she memorized the whole book that she was helping children learn. I think Cheryl, you've done that too. I think Cheryl has learned whole books of Awana and committed that. And you know, every once in a while, it seemed like every year, the leaders would take sections of Scripture and try to memorize it. I remember memorizing Isaiah 53, Ephesians 2, sections of those two. But we also memorize parts of Proverbs 3. And now this may not be very smart of me, but I'm going to try to quote Proverbs 3, 1 to 18. Now that, this is a little different setting than talking to my dogs or talking to, you know, out there in the pasture. But I'm going to, I do have a cheat sheet right here, so. But this is New American Standard. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they'll add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and repute in the eyes of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. For it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your fruit, from your produce, first of your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the disciplines of the Lord or loathe his reproof, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves. As a father corrects a son in whom he delights. How blessed is a man who finds wisdom and a man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain is better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire compares to her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are those who hold her fast. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that we might learn to hide your word in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, and the servant here will be opening his mouth and speaking words. But Lord, may it be your words that people hear. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Proverbs is a really great book of the Bible. I hope that you all can say amen to that. You know, it's an Old Testament book. It comes in a section of books that are called the poetry books. That often is referred to as Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Psalms of Solomon. And then there are a section of that poetry books called the wisdom literature, and that's Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Solomon was the main author, although not the only author. He was a chief contributor, maybe like the editor. There were, like I said, there were others who contributed. Solomon was the third king of Israel, behind his grandfather, his father David and Saul. He reigned for 40 years, and he lived around 1000 BC. So how did Solomon get this great wisdom? Why is he known for wisdom? Was it because his father invested vast amount of monies into teachers and educators? Was he blessed with a really high IQ? Why was Solomon so wise? Well, the answer is God gave him wisdom. It was a blessing. It was his grace. It was an answer to prayer. If you want to turn to 1 Kings, I was glad to see that Joe Kanachi said he got a brand new Bible, and it still smells like a new Bible, and he needs to get that thing opened. And see, Joe, you're somewhere out there. Yeah, there you are. Get that new Bible ready to go. 1 Kings 3, and verse 5 it says, "The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give you. Ask what I shall give you." Now that's quite a question, isn't it? What shall I give you? Verse 5. And then verse 9, Solomon says, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this. In verse 12, the Lord says, "Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none shall rise after you." Over 1 Kings 4:29, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind, like the sand on the seashore. So Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. Verse 32, he also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Verse 34, and people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard his wisdom. So God granted grace in Solomon's life and gave him wisdom. It was a blessing from God. So what is the purpose of Proverbs? How does that read? Proverbs 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction and wise dealings in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to youth. But the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom, and fools despise instruction. What is wisdom? What is it to be wise? One definition says, having the power of discerning and judging properly as to what is true or right, possessing discernment, judgment, discretion. How is your search for wisdom? Do you have a plan for wisdom? Do you read often looking for nuggets of wisdom? When I was a young man, I heard Billy Graham give his testimony. And in that testimony, he said that since there are 31 Proverbs and there are 150 Psalms, it was his challenge. It was to read 5 Psalms every day and read 1 Proverbs, and then he would read all of the Psalms and Proverbs in 1 month. There was a time in my life where I tried to do that. I don't have make that a practice right now, but I think that's a good practice. Those are great books of the Bible, and that was reviewing God's wisdom every day, every day. You know, I can really relate as we start looking at just Proverbs 3, and I realize now when Rob had you quote a section of Proverbs 3. Some of you might know the whole thing too there. I heard a lot of people quoting Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3:1, I can really relate to that. It talks about, my son, do not forget my teaching. You know, when you send a daughters or a children away to college, you take them to college, you spend a lot of time trying to say, don't forget what I told you now. Don't forget what I told you. And, you know, we just got back, Emily's starting school back in New York, and we were back there helping her get situated, and I could just hear myself reviewing disaster plans, reviewing safety issues. Now get your flu shot. Now the ER you want me to use is around the corner over here. Remember these things. My son, do not forget my teaching. You know, back there, I think Emily doesn't need a whole lot of coaching anymore. I was just to tell you that I think she's gotten very well connected. There's a great church she knew about before she even went back there called Redeemer Presbyterian. She's already connecting with small groups, and she's serving today as an usher in one of the services, and she was on a service project yesterday, and I was makes a father's heart glad to hear or see that your child's getting involved. Now, you know, she was easy to drop off. You know, Rob's right. Today, Susan and I leave to take Luke to school. Is he up there somewhere? There he is. There he's right there. Okay, yeah, take Luke to school. And now that's a little tougher. You know, he's going to need a little more father advice, I think. I've been working on for a while. You know, I've been taking him out, and I've been trying to say, you know, come on, Luke, remember what I told you now. Remember what we taught you. And I do think that it's likely that I will call begging for help before he does. How does that computer work? How does the printer work? What's the DVD? How do you plug that thing in? I do think that I might be the one, but You know, as we say to our sons, to a son, do not forget my teaching. You know, we are like all parents. We want positive outcomes for our children. We want them to remember those things because we believe the things we taught them will result in positive outcomes. We want them to avoid disaster. It really is an expression of our love for our children, isn't it? Remember my teaching. You know, this is our Father in heaven saying, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. I do want to remind you that you do all have one last chance to help Luke be a more wise person. We got a fellowship hour following this, and I would recommend, you know, take him aside and give him that last little piece of good advice you have. The wisdom literature of the Bible do speak of the human condition. They help us draw conclusions about human nature and living a life that is pleasing to God. God's wisdom has its source and beginning in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Recognizing that He's all-powerful, giving reverence to Him, trusting in Him. God's wisdom literature includes practical advice, teaching how to live. God's wisdom literature recognizes there is an order in God's creation. If you honor that order, it will lead to positive results and positive outcomes. Defying God's created order leads to unhappy results. Are there wise people in your life? People that know how to discern, how to judge, can tell what is right and what is wrong, what is true? Do you have people at work that you consider wise, at your school that you consider wise, in this church, maybe a brother or sister? It's often we go to our brothers and sisters only to our mothers and fathers to ask for wisdom, help with something. Are there authors that you go to to help learn outside of the Scripture? Are there authors you go to or counselors? In my life, since I've been in Orville, I've learned a lot about what's called Palermo wisdom. Have you heard anything about Palermo wisdom? I see Betty Braun there getting red there. Yes, well, Palermo wisdom, I've learned a lot from Ken Butler about Palermo wisdom. About God's sovereignty, Ken will say, if you're destined to hang, you won't drown. And I was reading a book that I thought was giving some good wisdom about food choices. And I like the piece of wisdom that says, don't eat anything with ingredients you cannot pronounce. I thought that was pretty good. If you can't pronounce it, then maybe you shouldn't eat it. You know, there's family wisdom. Sometimes family wisdom is sort of unique to families, isn't it? I know in our family, we think it is wise that we eat together whenever we can, and we do not turn the TV on when we're eating. We try to have a conversation. And we have, it has been our family wisdom to not have no electronics for our kids in their room, or at least as small as amount as possible. And we're looking for wisdom. I think someone mentioned that Susan's mom has just came down with a diagnosis of leukemia. We're looking for wisdom from medical providers that have experience that can help us get a good outcome for her situation. Well, in this section, just you know, in the section I just read, or I quoted to you from 1 to 18, there certainly are a lot of expected outcomes, positive results from wise living. From living wisely, following and obeying God. If you just look at that section, 1 to 18, we have some expected outcomes, which I would call physical or bodily outcomes. One of those is years of life, increased years of life. You know, it's easy to see sort of how that might work, how wise living, obeying the Lord and the way He tells us to live might lead to increased years of life. Certainly lots of research shows people who are frequent churchgoers live longer on average. You know, I think that it would be easy to sort of say that people who go to church frequently have healthier habits. Maybe they have a more trusting spirit. They turn their anxieties over to their God. What about the length of days? That's there's also says the length of days. Your days, length of days will increase as a result of following God's teachings and His commands. You know, there's a lot of times we waste, isn't there, in our life, running around, being distracted by things. I was just thinking about there was a movement. I think it's still going on. We used to ask people, "What would Jesus do?" You know, when you answer that question, "What would Jesus do?" that saves a lot of time, doesn't it? I mean, when you look at things and you're trying to make a decision, and you have all these people say, "What would my teacher say? What would my friends say? What's that gonna?" And you boil it down to, "What would Jesus do?" That may just save a whole chunk of time for you, wouldn't it? And I would say that when we take time to have a quiet time in the morning, when we take time, we're making time. Because when we come into a relationship with God and we are aligning ourselves with Him, it makes it easier to make decisions, and wasting time is apt to not happen as much. So we can, by taking time, we can make time. It says there that we'll have healing to the body. Proverbs 7:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine." Healing to the body, refreshment to the bones. There are psychological outcomes that are expected by being a wise person or obeying the teachings of our Scripture. It says in this one little section we're looking at, it says some of those outcomes that could be expected would be peace, that your ways would be pleasant, there would be refreshment in your life. It says happy. It says that our lives, there's like a tree of life. We are loved by God. We are blessed. There are social outcomes that could be expected by wise living from this section. It says that we would find favor with people. We would have a good repute, and we have honor. And there are some visible outcomes that could be expected. Barns or vats would be full. In verse 3, it talks about, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you." You know, truth alone can be toxic. You ever know those people that are always right and they want to tell you they're always right and they just want to rub it in all the time? It is hard to take their truth, isn't it? It's hard to take it. But when it's combined with kindness and truth, what a great combination that is. No wonder Proverbs talk about finding favor and good repute. If we learn to be kind in our truthfulness, there's some doctor wisdom that says that patients don't care what you know until the patients know that you care. You gotta learn, you gotta show you care. And then verse 5, starting in verse 5, well, that's been a verse that I've known a long time. And you guys quoted that earlier today. You did great on it. It's really it's one of the theme verses of Susan in my life. We have a little place where we keep our horses, a little ranch, and we call that the Straight Trails Ranch. You know that we would have straight trails, and your life would be straight. You know, looking at that verse, God made us to trust Him in everything with all our heart. God made us to acknowledge Him in everything we do. You know, we need to agree with God's expectation that we trust Him and acknowledge Him in everything. That is best for us, and He is glorified when we are trusting Him in everything and we are acknowledging Him in everything. As I meditated on that, I found a little problem. And the problem was me. you know, I agree wholeheartedly with it. That's the way I want to be. I like the idea. I want it. I agree that it's best for me in my life. A holy person, a righteous person, would trust God with all their heart. And they would acknowledge Him in everything. There are some days when I come home and Susan would say, "How was the day?" And I would have to confess. I'd have to confess and say, "I can't remember how many times I acknowledged the Lord today. It just seemed like I got caught up in the day and I didn't acknowledge Him. And I'm sorry for that." Trusting the Lord with all your heart, acknowledging Him in everything, walking with life and acknowledging Him in our lives. We have been studying in Genesis with the pastor, and when he comes back, we'll continue to go through Genesis. Most recently, we were talking about Noah. Remember Genesis 6, 5 and 6. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of his thoughts of his heart were only evil continuously. And the Lord was sorry He had made man. Genesis 8. 21, we were reading before. "And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma after Noah had sacrificed, and the Lord said in His heart, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth.'" You know, we are sinners, and we are proud, and we like to do things in our own strength. We like to do things our own way. We don't like telling people what to do. But we know we need to be like Solomon. Solomon cried out to the Lord, "What would be the one thing you want from me?" And he cried out, "Give me wisdom. I want to be, change me. Give me, forgive me." You know, and I think as I meditated on those verses, I was thinking, what's worse than facing an almost impossible task? It's starting that task, not appreciating that it's impossible. I think the Pharisees approached religion as though they could please God because they were able to keep all the commandments, they thought. They did not feel, or they did not seem to feel, like they needed some power outside of them to abide in the Lord and to ask for His help. It's a good thing to be broken. I think that when I see that passage, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," makes me want to pray, "Lord, I want to trust You. I want to trust You with all my heart. I want to acknowledge You in everything I do. I want to walk with You. Forgive me for how I forget. Forgive me for going forward in my own strength. Change me, mold me, use me." And remember, out of John 15, Jesus reminds us. "As the branch, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." I remind you of Ezekiel 36:26. God says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put it within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And I will cause you to be careful to obey all my rules." Dear God, I pray that would be me. That would be you. So God wants us to be wise. Like Solomon, we need to ask for wisdom. We need to fear the Lord. We need to thank God like a loving Father. He wants to bless us with wisdom, with those positive outcomes which are part of His order. We want our lives to reflect in our priorities that God's wisdom is better than gold. We want it to reflect that God's wisdom is better than silver, that God's wisdom is incredibly valuable. We want to live a life that's in complete trust in Jesus Christ, walking with Him, acknowledging Him in everything. We need to ask forgiveness. We need to repent because we missed the mark and ask Him to change our heart, that we would have His Spirit change our heart and that we would abide with Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your wisdom literature, the wisdom that You gave us by Your Spirit that You want us to obey. We thank You for Solomon. And Father, when we see things that are beautiful, like the vision of trusting You with all our heart and the vision of acknowledging You in all our ways, everything we do, acknowledging You, that's what we want. That's what I want, dear God, but I do not have the strength. I don't have the heart. Lord, change me and mold me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.